Hello and welcome to The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning to fly gliders. This is show number 7. I'm your host, Sam, and I'm a trainee glider pilot in the southwest of the United Kingdom, Great Britain, England, or for the fans of Merlin and all that sword and sorcery stuff, Albion. For the last 4 months, I've been braving the weather and learning to fly at my local club on the very edge of Dartmoor. You're invited to follow my progress week by week as I make the transition from rut-loving skid shredder to glider-preserving solo pilot. In this week's show, I enjoy being a passenger again. I test out a new camera, learn lots about winching, and put a few more pieces of the jigsaw puzzle of learning to fly gliders into place. In the news this week, first up, there's a new gliding forum at www.gliderforum.com. Now, I came across this forum looking through some pages on Facebook about gliding and saw that a new forum had been launched. It's very new. It's yet to get populated, but I thought I'd be one of the first few people on board. They seem nice enough people. I think it's based in the US. And it's like all digital forums. It's a very difficult thing to get them going, to get them full of people. And it's quite a challenge to populate a place like that online. But as I'm learning with The Glider Show, you have to start somewhere and you have to take it slowly. Next in the news. Competition Enterprise. What the hell is it? And why would a newcomer be interested? Now, I've been looking for news items about gliding for the last few weeks, but there doesn't seem to be an awful lot out there to appeal to the newcomer to gliding. Someone like me who hasn't yet gone solo and isn't particularly interested in competitions or very technical flying. It's interesting to me because it makes me think that's probably one of the reasons why it's hard to get younger people into the sport of gliding. If there's no news out there on the web to interest and hold the attention of newcomers like me, how are you going to get people interested in the sport? I can't really make out what this event is about, and that's exactly the problem. I found a link to this on the British Gliding Association website, and for all I can tell, it's some sort of event taking place at North Hill in Devon, which isn't far from me, sometime this year. All I know is that it's about some kind of competition. Now, I did find a link on that site that takes us to a page that tells us what someone called Justin Wills says, and I'll quote this. He says, "I still suspect that the views of the general gliding community towards enterprise are akin to those of the general public towards gliding itself. The vast majority are indifferent." And that's really telling because, first of all, I don't know who Justin Wills is. I'm sure that he's a good guy and he's put a lot of effort into whatever this event is. But it's a very common problem for people who are deeply involved in their own expertise or their own specialism. And I see this problem all the time. People can't see their world from the viewpoint of somebody outside of it. It makes me think it's no wonder it's so hard to attract new people to the sport. Morning, everybody. It's Sunday, 20th of January, and I'm sitting in the car. It's about 8:30 on a Sunday morning, and I'm heading up to the club. It's a bit of an odd Sunday. It was due to be a one-day course, which probably would have meant I could depend on a certain number of flights for the day. It turns out that we don't have the chief instructor cover for the day, although our club chairman can operate the field, he can't operate it as a training setup, which means if I go up there, I'm at best going to have a fun flight with him in one of the twin seaters, which is fine, but he's obliged to handle the aircraft below 500 feet, so that's takeoffs and landings to you and me. So part of the mission today then really is to get up there and I've got a couple of things really on my plate. One is I've got with me the Drift HD camera, which is a little action camera, a high definition wide angle thingy which sports people like to use. I'm testing it out down here and giving it a run for its money. So we've got a nice suction mount that we can stick And now, on a fiberglass glider, that's probably doable. I'm not so sure that the surfaces on the K13 are smooth enough to do this, but we will see. And if there's any doubt about it at all, I'm going to not bother doing it, because I can't afford to risk killing somebody by dropping a pound's worth of camera and suction mount on their head from 1,000 feet. I'm outside the gliding club and it's 8:40, and there's nobody else here except me. Yeah, everything seems closed up. I don't think there's much point in me going in right this second unless somebody else turns up, because I don't have any keys for the clubhouse. So I'm going to sit here and keep warm until such times as possibly anyone else turns up. Taking the Land Rover up to Winch Point. The door handle's broken, so I've had to go around the other side. Anyway, I've attached the winch cable towing thing, trailer, and now I'm going to head back to the winch point, and I'm going to ask Nigel about how it all works, because I've never been down the winch end before, or never had a look up close at the winch, so it'd be really interesting if he's willing to explain how it works and what I'm looking at. I have to say, right now, it looks like a pretty miserable option out of all the different things today to be sat in the winch, sat there all day long. Unless the winch itself produces a load of heat, then it looks like a pretty cold, bleak day for anyone doing that job. And considering these guys getting out of bed at 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning to come and sit in that little box on the moors all day long, helping to get club mates into the air, I think it's quite an amazing act of kindness, really. I've never even been and seen this working. So when you're down here, have you got any heat?
No.
Is the winch itself put out any heat?
No. It's quite an enjoyable thing to do, winching. It's a challenge. And there's a skill to it as well, so it's quite a rewarding thing if you give somebody a decent launch.
So you have visual on the aircraft when?
The glider's got to be a good 100 foot in the air before you can see it over the brow of the hill. It's all worked by radio until you can actually visual the glider.
So what makes you get up on a Sunday morning and do it?
Because Martin asked me particularly on this.
Okay.
I'm here anyway to fly.
Yeah.
We all got to do something to keep the club running. Yeah. So I don't mind being down here doing the winch in. It's fine. We've got what we're calling payout gear. I believe the design for this one originated as a barrage winch.
You've got a sort of great disc brake on each.
Yeah.
Wow. That would do any motorcycle proud, wouldn't it?
That's right. We've also got these guillotines. I've never ever known of any of them having to be used. But
is that an emergency?
In an emergency. Yeah. If a glider has come up to...
And the release at the top hasn't happened.
And the release at the top hasn't happened and you realise it's not going to release, then you would pull that.
What would that glider do with 0.5 kilometre of cable dangling from it? Struggle.
Probably come down reasonably quickly.
Yeah. Forget the air brakes. So that's what those great big things with blades on them are then. Don't have your fingers on there ever.
No, they're not particularly sharp.
The weight is just
going to chop through the cable.
You hope, because it's been running over here for years, sort of wearing it. A little lip on there, isn't there?
Yeah.
You never know. When it actually comes to use it one day, there's a groove in there and it just...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Clumps either side.
I'm pretty sure it will do its job.
So this old thing, I mean, what was... Is this only designed as a a glider launching winch, or is
this,
it
this one,
some other kind of functions?
No, this one was, it was actually designed, it came, I think it was a runner-up in a competition to supply winches to the air cadets.
Hand-built sort of thing?
Yeah, yeah, it was custom-built, and obviously it was a design they were trying to get the air cadets to buy en masse.
Okay.
And this came second to a different winch. And so I don't know where we managed to acquire it, but that was the history of it.
So we've got the lead plate as a sort of manual brake thing when you go...
When you're pulling cables out, it's just got this weight on there, so...
Perfectly scientific, I love it.
Yeah. Just switch the engine on, you've got a throttle. Not doing anything there.
Disengaged, right?
Yeah.
But the flywheel's spinning, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whatever bit
you've got. Pneumatics which engage either drum.
Right.
So you've got a gate here which you lift and then engage either drum.
And that's your kind of safety device to make sure it doesn't accidentally kick it. So two nice old fashioned latches, like a garden shed.
That's right, okay. Yeah.
Or something from the Apollo 11.
It works, it's simple, keep it simple. You switch the engine on, then you engage, and then you've got control of the throttle.
Okay.
And the brake. You actually balance the brake and the throttle at the same time.
Okay.
Because on tick over with no brake, it will actually start coming up.
So you let it on tick over before you get the take up to that curve, and you're holding on the brake.
Yeah.
And then it's a combination off brake, up throttle, pull out, check, bang.
That's right, exactly right.
Well, I'll have to see this later on. Knots there. Now signalling too fast.
Yeah.
Left wing down a bit, that's better. Thousand feet. 1,100 feet. Cable's gone away. Achieving a normal guiding attitude and trim. There's that sinking air again. So let's have a little look to our right. There's a little bit of white patch there. Always bearing in mind that we're now on the downwind side of the airfield from the point of view of and we're going to be blown downwind quite quickly.
Yeah.
Sinking air there. Well, now for the benefit of the camera, we'll be able to see the airfield as we progress down the downwind.
And Brent Tor as well.
Just seeing if the air coming over the hill might reduce this sink rate slightly.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go and check our favourite farm. See, that's slightly better. See, we've got zero on the vario there. See that?
Yeah.
That's air coming over the hill, up that valley to our right. Look at that. Look at that.
No way.
There's no other aircraft around, so we're okay turning whilst over the airfield.
Okay. So that's coming...
What was that? Strong sink here. It might just be a line of lift.
Oof.
Look at that. Look at slow there.
Yeah.
You feel the judder?
Yeah.
There it is. So narrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
And once again, we're at below 600 feet, so we want to be treating this as a circuit. There's rising air there, look.
Yeah, little jump.
right wing.
It's that small a patch, isn't it?
Yeah. It's under the right wing, I can feel it. Well, dang me, I think we've gained a little bit of weight. See, always worth trying, Sam. Always worth trying in the middle of winter. You don't know what you might find.
So this is a bit of wave.
I don't know. Doesn't feel like it's ridge or something coming over that ridge.
Okay.
Doesn't feel like a thermal. Why we've got that chatter there?
Is that turbulent air?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely the right side of 600 feet now. I think it's a little ribbon, and you very often find it in this little patch between the hangar and that farm.
Right.
Lost it. Of course, at this time of year, if it is ridge, it won't go on for very long.
Yeah.
You know, the wind is quite light. So it may be that was it. And if we sink down a bit, we'll find it kicks in again, and that will tell us that it's definitely ridge.
Okay, got you.
Just there. No, going for the circuit. So our approach speed is 55 knots. Trim to 55. Looking over diagonal leg, can't see any other aircraft. Going right round, because we've got to keep our nose pointing up.
Yep.
Into wind. Notice I haven't used the air brakes yet. I want to make sure that we've got the field made. It's another way of saying I was a bit low on the final turn.
Okay. You're going to be popular.
Well, it means you don't have to drag it back for ages, does it?
No, just dig it out with a,
yes.
A crew of navvies.
Thank you, that was great fun.
That was something, wasn't it? Do you want another?
No, I'll be fine, actually.
Okay.
Nice being passenger, actually.
Launch point to winch. Take up slack, K13 North Cable.
Taken up slack, K13 North Cable.
All out.
Well, this week, I'm making sense of everything I've learned so far in my journey to become a glider pilot. Now, due to an unforeseen set of circumstances, with our chief flying instructor not being on site at the weekend and our other instructors not being qualified to instruct the ab initio pilots like me, I got the chance to be a passenger for the day. And it gave me some unexpected space to try and fit some of the pieces of the jigsaw together. Now, I could have flown above 500 feet, but I chose not to. And initially, a little voice in my head told me I was wimping out. By the end of the day, I realized actually that was a good decision. Now, why was that? Well, first of all, it gave me a chance to try out my new video camera. Now, it's not strictly my video camera. This belongs to my work. Got it accidentally delivered to my home just in time to try it out on a crisp, cold Sunday up on Dartmoor. Now, the first thing I did was I mounted it on the tail fin, and I was quite nervous about this. I'm the kind of person who doesn't like to take risks when it comes to a 1 kilogram camera and mount setup worth a couple of hundred quid. So despite this thing having a very big and powerful looking suction cup, I have tried it out before, and I do know that the suction works brilliantly on glass, but as soon as you move away to more irregular surfaces, the reliability of that suction goes down at a rate that you can't really determine and you can't predict. My nervousness was that the K13 is not exactly a smooth finished glider like some of the newer fiberglass gliders are. So I approached the glider with the idea of trying to find the very smoothest part of the aircraft to fix the camera to. And that turned out to be the tail fin, and it's very smooth there and quite flat. So mounted it with a suction cup, strapped it on with a bit of extra tape, set the camera going, and climbed in and went off for what I thought was going to be a pretty spectacular flight. In fact, what actually happened was we had a cable break at about 100 feet and ended up landing straight ahead. I had two more flights with the camera mounted on the tail fin, and found out later in the day when I got home that, in fact, neither of those two flights recorded. When I thought it was recording, it wasn't, and when I thought it wasn't recording, it was. But I did then change the position and mounted the camera on the wing and filmed a couple of flights, and both those came out really well. Despite not capturing all of the footage that I wanted, what I did manage to do that day was to do an experiment capturing the in-cockpit audio using my Tascam audio recorder, and then afterwards dubbed that audio on top of the video. For me, that makes a really interesting video. Again, there's a link to my last flight in the show notes. If you watch it, you'll notice that the audio is really good quality, and you can really hear the instructor when he talks. Most videos I've seen using GoPro cameras or drift cameras don't capture the cockpit audio, firstly because those cameras have notoriously bad onboard microphones, and secondly, those microphones only ever record a roaring wind noise. With a little bit of care, you can get some really interesting commentary and some fantastic views all on the same video. So having the time and the space to play around with the video was a real bonus, and I couldn't have done that if I'd have been in training myself, because I would have been concentrating on the whole business of flying. And as a newcomer, that's quite stressful. But probably even more valuable was the chance to step back and look at the experience of being in a glider again from a little bit of distance. Not flying gave me a great opportunity to experience a cable break without the stress of having to deal with it myself. And it was my first cable break, and not even a simulated one. But it also gave me the opportunity to experience the whole launch process without all the stress of trying to control it. So I could really connect what I was seeing, the speed, the height, the handling as we went up the wire, connect that with the experience a couple of weeks ago of doing it myself. I could feel the instructor's handling of the aircraft throughout the flight. I could listen and pay more attention to his decision-making process. And also, importantly, we could register the feel of lift. I could feel his reaction. I could feel his response to the aircraft's movements in that little bit of rising air. And all of that as an unstressed observer. And the lesson for me from all of that is I think it's really a smart thing to do, maybe 20 launches into your learning, to stop and take one day out and be a passenger again. Now, in our comms this week, I'd like to say a warm hello to Dan Redshaw. Dan, if you're listening, welcome to the Glider Show, and thank you for emailing me. Dan said, "Hi, Sam, just a quick email to say I've been reading your site and listening to the podcasts, and they are both brilliant. Hopefully, we will come across each other at some point or another in the future." I hope so too, Dan, and that's one of the nicest things about doing a podcast. People you've never met get to know you through you talking to them on a regular basis. Hi also to Jason at gliderforum.com. I mentioned that new glider forum earlier on. Thanks, Jason, for putting a link to the glider show on your forum, and I've done the same thing on the glider show. Now, in an email, Jason was talking to me about how slow it's been getting people to go to his forum, so hopefully anyone listening to this will try out gliderforum.com. If it's any consolation, my experience is that it is slow. All I know is just stick at it. Just keep doing what you do, stick at it, and eventually good people will come, and if there are good people there to have conversations, then they'll stay. So that's all for episode 7 of The Glider Show. Don't forget to check out the videos I took with the drift camera, plus the in-cockpit audio. You'll find the links in the show notes. Now, I've been publishing The Glider Show for a couple of months now, and it's been brilliant to connect with people who've listened to the show or read the blog. Hearing from other people is what makes the show more interesting. So if you're listening and you're a glider enthusiast, why not share a bit of your world with me and anyone else listening? All you have to do is record a short audio clip and send it by email to ukglider@hotmail.com. Now make sure you do it as an MP3 file, which means you can say 10 times more than you can with a WAV. If you've got a smartphone or a PC, then you're just a couple of clicks away from taking part. All you need is something like a voice memo app or audio recording software. Don't forget, you can also tweet me at ukglider. Check the Take Part page on the website at ukglider.com for additional information on how to take part. As always, music for The Glider Show is the languid Cloud Nine, provided by Norwegian slide guitarist Finn, whose music I found on Music Alley, and that's a site that helps connect musicians with podcasters who can help promote their music. It's a brilliant arrangement. Don't forget that if you click on the Subscribe to The Glider Show in iTunes button on the website, you'll get new episodes automatically delivered to your PC, your Mac, or your smartphone without having to lift a finger. This is Sam Deeks, and this is The Glider Show. I thank you for taking the time to listen, and I really look forward to hearing from you someday soon. Meantime, fly safe.